All right, if you have your Bibles again, Ephesians chapter 5, part 2. All right, part 2. You're like, wow, that was a long message. Yep, it was. That's why we did part 1 and part 2, and it was still long this morning. Sorry, junior church teachers. All right, you're all going crazy. But it's kind of church family, so I wanted to preface this tonight and just say, let me preface it for the folks that are basically around 16 to 24. I know you think that I'm busting your chops, and I am. And the reason I'm busting your chops is because there's a bunch of us that are older that have been at it a little while, and what you're doing is you're pushing the limit. And what you want is, whether it's hairstyle or whether it's dress code or whether it's even going out with, you know, just hanging out together with guys and girls, you're not careful. And I'm going to bust your chops on it because you're not taking over this church. You're not doing it. We have covenanted together because we believe together. There's a couple of churches all around here that believe that way. Go there. You're not the pastor. You're not in leadership here. 18 to 20. All right, you can't even vote here until you're 20. So under that, get in line and obey. Be careful. What burdens my heart. And you know this. I'm a little different than my father-in-law. You know I'm a little different? I can accept some difference. I can accept it. I can. I didn't say can't. I can accept it. All right, but this is what I can tell you. There are older folks sitting here, and they have some children that are way off the gravy train. And it breaks their hearts. And what they don't want is more of you that are 18 to 24 heading that direction, and we're saying, walk circumspectly. Amen. That's what we're talking about. And some of you need to let the Holy Spirit get a hold of your heart and have revival. Let it stir you up. And instead of saying, well, I'm my own man, this is the way I am, just accept me. I will not accept sin. Amen. I won't do it. Amen. But we can accept you. I've talked to my own children about this. There are kids that have grown up here and they're at other churches and they have different standards. And you say, well, you're friendly to them. I am. But I'm not their pastor. I'm not. You say, well, I can write them, but I also try to help them when I can. My wife has written people that have grown up here and said, what are you doing? Because that's what we do. All right, but I also can extend a hand and say, hey, how you doing? You'll be friendly. But when it comes to my life, and this is the Rick Warren philosophy that some of you have swallowed. Rick Warren says that love your neighbor is why he's not having church. But I say, I love my God with all my heart first. Amen. And that's why I go to church. Amen. So Rick Warren has shut his church down because he says we need to love our neighbor. And so those of you that are in the teen years and up to 20, 24, 25, and you're saying I'm busting your chops, I am. And there's some of you young couples and honeymooners, I'm busting your chops too. And the reason is that we have to be careful. We live in a dangerous world. And it hasn't gotten, all right, those of you that are saying, hey, we just, you know what, it just seems so rigid. This is what I can tell you. In the last 20 years, America hasn't gotten more godly. Right? It hasn't gotten more godly. And so let's be careful. This is what I can almost guarantee you. Actually, I can, because I know Scripture. If you're circumspect and careful when it comes to holiness, when it comes to righteousness, you will not have one regret when you get to heaven at the judgment seat of Christ. Some of you that are pushing the limit, and so, yeah, ooh, man, you got to touch your babe a little earlier than marriage. You got to lip lock them, all right, before, because I snuck around. This is what I can tell you. At the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to hang your head and you're going to be crying. That's right. And I believe I have Bible to back it up. Yes, and Christ is going to say, I left you there to be an example of the believers. So before you get all mad at me, take the Bible, get alone with God for a little while, and let God work you over. You'll be happy. Many years ago in the Baptist News, Lockport, New York, this is what they wrote. I liked it. My friend, have you heard of the town of Yawn on the banks of the river Slough, where blooms the wait-a-while flower fair, where the sometime or other scents the air and the soft go-easies grow? It lies in the valley of what's the use and the province of let her slide. That tired feeling is native there. It's the home of the listless, I don't care, where the put-it-offs abide. I say all that because that's where some of you in your Christian life are living, in the land of yawn. And I pick up another one in Chattanooga, Tennessee, is September 8, 1902. Theodore Roosevelt came before the Brotherhood of Locomotive Firemen, and this is what he said. Your work is hard. Do you suppose I mention that because I pity you? No, I don't. Not a bit. I don't pity any man who does hard work worth doing. I admire him. I pity the creature who doesn't work. At whichever end of the social scale he may regard himself as being, the law of the worthy work well done is the law of the successful American life. If a man does his work in a slipshod fashion, then no matter what kind of work it is, he is a poor American citizen. He was talking to Americans there. And we've lost that. But I'm talking to a group of Christians here tonight. And what I'm telling you today and asking you in the month of January to think about, and that is, are you living circumspectly? Are you careful? Are you diligent? I'm not asking you to do something that's easy. It's hard. Being careful in the Christian life is hard because sometimes you take a step forward and it's two steps back. And all of us have been there. I've been there too. Sometimes it seems like the easy route is just to give in to your temptation. And for a little bit, it is. Hebrews tells us that because there's pleasure in sin for a season. We all know it. But that season seems like, oh, hey, I'm all right. And even some of you, what has happened is you've been living the easy life, the carefree life, the careless Christian life, and you're not, God doesn't seem to chastise you. I'm okay. See, Dad? Hey, Dad, quit busting my chops. I'm okay. God hasn't sent fire down. I had somebody say that. Hey, God hasn't struck me dead. Now, that is unbelievable to say, but God may not. He may let you live your whole life and you live it and you die it, but you will give account of yourself someday. The judgment seat is coming. That's the ploy of the devil. The ploy of the devil is immediate, not the future. This evening, I want to continue looking in Ephesians 5 where it says in verse 15, see then that you walk what? Circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. This morning, I read to you what Albert Barnes said about that. This evening, I want to mention what Adam Clark. Adam Clark was a Baptist commentator. And in his commentary on this, he said this, walk circumspectly. Our word circumspect from the Latin circumspicio signifies to look about on all hands, to be every way watchful, wary, and cautious in order to avoid danger, discern enemies before they come too nigh, and secure a man's interest by every possible and lawful means. The original word, and he gave the Greek word, signifies and accurately says, it means It signifies accurately, consistently, or perfectly. And it's saying that we need to be diligent. We need to be careful. Be ye who have received the truth, careful of your conduct. Walk by the rule which God has given you. Do this as well in little as in great matters. Exemplify your principles, which are holy and good, by a corresponding conduct. Do not only profess, but live the gospel. So this evening, we're going to continue and we're going to think about this idea of, are we living circumspectly? Are we living carefully? And let's pray together as we begin and say, God, make us careful. We say it all the time. And I think sometimes you think it's just a word, it's just a joke. Haven't you seen over the past 10 months now how the devil is so real? He could just step into the world and shut it down. Step into the world and shut it down. He's powerful. And that's our enemy. So when we say walk circumspectly, I know I'm that way. I get that way. I get overwhelmed because I'm the pastor. I've got a lead. And I say, God, how in the world can we do this? And the devil says, you can't. And my goal by the end is to say, no, you can. God would not tell you to walk circumspectly and to do this if he doesn't give you the tools. We can do it. Heavenly Father, I pray you help us to be careful. Help us to watch out. Lord, I think some, they don't even know it, but the devil's breathing down their throat. We wrestle here. Lord, they can't even realize the wrestling analogy. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, the Bible tells us that, and wrestling around their back, the opponent has them pinned. I pray, Lord, through your power, through instruction through the word of God, as Nehemiah prayed to his people, that, Lord, we would understand the reading of the word succinctly. We'd accept it and change your ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we looked this morning, and I'm going to just review the 2 points, and then we'll continue on, all right? So we said, why be careful? And we said, why? A devil that is accusing. Secondly, a world that is watching. So thirdly, we have wolves that are devouring. Wolves that are devouring. And let me just mention you, because Jack mentioned that. Some of you are like, hey, where's the outline? We emailed it to you. Use your paper and print it, all right? I mean, I'm telling you, man, the church has to do everything for you. Pretty soon I'm going to have to feed you, all right? I'm going to have to be like, here's food, here's your cream corn, all right? Here's your mashed potatoes, all right? I'm going to have the Fairhaven Nursing Home here, all right? But wolves that are devouring. Acts chapter 20, if you want to put down a passage, Acts chapter 20 is the passage that talks about this. What's interesting, what book are we in? We're in the book of what? Ephesians, right? Acts chapter 20. And look at verse 17. I just like sometimes context. It just is nice to know it sometimes. But in Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So here we have the church of Ephesus. Paul is on one of his missionary journeys and he calls them and he wants to meet with the elders of the church of Ephesus. We're reading in the book of Ephesians, so later he wrote them a book. But notice what he tells them later in the text. All right. He's in verse 28. All right. Well, verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So he's saying, I taught you the Bible. But look what he says in verse 28. Take heed, therefore. So what is he telling them? Be careful. Why? Unto yourselves. And to all the flock. So the elders, I believe that is pastors that he called to come. And he talked to the pastors. He said, hey, take heed to yourself, but then take heed to the flock. Why? over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, look what he says, of your own selves shall men arise. So don't be shocked, even within a church, a wolf comes in and starts howling. You know what a pastor's job is? Yeah. I'm working on it with Carl right now. Okay? He's got a scope for me. And my M1A is going to have a scope with a bipod on it. And I'm going to take you out. All right? All right, now. All right. It just went on Facebook. Oh, unreal. All right? But guess what? But that's what a good pastor takes out wolves. He points it out. Why? Because it's instructed in Scripture. And that's what our church is based off of. Not off your feelings, not off of what you're just thinking. So we have to be careful. Why are we careful? Because there are wolves that want to devour. They do. Did you see the text? It says that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. What do wolves do with sheep? Destroy them. Eat them up, rip them to shreds. And that's what you have to understand. That's why we need to be careful here in our, that's what we're saying. Why should we be careful? Because there's wolves that are devouring. The last one that I see as far as why, I believe within a church, all right? So I'm giving you four reasons why we need to be careful. A devil that is accusing, a world that is watching, wolves that are devouring, but then believers that need uplifting. Do you know that right here? All right, you can be a detriment or a help to somebody's Christian life. You know that. You've helped somebody. I've been that way. I've helped some people and I've not helped some people. I've hurt some people by my words, and so have you. So we can help people. That's why I need to be cautious. All right, where do we find that? Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 is a great study because it's all about meat being offered to idols, and there's a big discussion on that. All right, I don't necessarily think that we have a deal with that going on right now, unless somebody, I don't know, maybe you're really bent out of shape because somebody has bought meat that was offered to Buddha. All right, but I haven't heard of it recently. Okay, but there's a principle here. Look at Romans chapter 14 and notice towards the end of Romans chapter 14. And there's a whole discussion, read it sometime through the week, but in 15, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. So some people have used this to say that, you know what, hey, don't get, this is the principle is live higher. Okay? So if somebody has a standard of something, all right, let's say that you're going over to somebody's house to eat, and you know that they just maybe they were a former alcoholic, and they just don't like the look of the sparkling grape juice bottle. And so in order for you to just prove a point, you're like, it's grape juice. I'm just going to take it. They need to grow up. And so you offend them. You're a jerk. That's what you are. You're a jerk. It offends them. It's not your house. You know what? And guess what? I like sparkling grape juice. But if you're offended by it, why would I buy you that as a present? You know what it's saying? And that's what it says in verse 15. You're not living charitably. So a lot of people take this and they say, hey, you know what? Hey, you just get over it. I like mixed swimming. You know? No. Actually, the rule is, in this case, live the highest standard. That's the rule that comes out of Romans 14. You go to the highest standard. Why? Because You're not going to send somebody into sin because of your actions. And yet some of you do. You do. You talk dirty, or you talk questionably. You're like, that's not a cuss word. Well, if that offends somebody, then shut your mouth and don't say that. Why? Because believers need uplifting. Why be questionable about it? And so this passage is telling us, I need to be careful. Why? Because my actions do affect others. Nobody here lives on an island. Nobody. You can say, well, I just want to be me. I don't know where you got that. That's not actually in Scripture anywhere. You never hear Jesus crying out, I just got to be me. No, I think that's actually some 60s singer. All right? It's not Christ saying that. Actually, what Christ tells us is that we should esteem others better than ourselves. Actually, in a church, it's others that matter, not you. And some of you are so filled with yourself. You don't even know that other people in this church exist, except to pander to you and to buff your shoes and to give you. Start thinking about the other people, and maybe 16 to 24-year-old. Why don't you start thinking about a 6-year-old who's looking up to you? Why don't you start looking at somebody else and saying, hey, I'm going to be an example of the believer. Instead of being a non-example, being an example of a Satan worshiper. And I know that is extreme. But some of you, I mean, you're uplifting all kinds of other things except for Christ in your life. You're going to answer to God for it. So that is why I need to be careful. So let's go to point number 2. So what do I need to be careful of? And again, I'm loading you up with Scripture on this. This morning we said you need to be careful of forgetting God in your life, and that was Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 8. You need to be careful of your associations, Proverbs chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 John chapter 4. You need to be careful of lustful temptations, 1 Corinthians 6, 18, Galatians 5, 16, 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 5, Colossians 3, 5, 2 Timothy 2, 22, 1 Peter 2, 11. All right, all those we touched on this morning. So what else do I need to be careful of? Wrong doctrine. Matthew 7 and verse 15 tells us this. Matthew 7, 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, look at this word again, they are ravening what? Wolves. And guess what they are? A prophet speaks of doctrine. That's what he does. But he's a false prophet. You need to be careful of wrong doctrine. You know what wrong doctrine is? All right, I'll read you the passage. We'll come to it in just a minute. Go to Matthew. We're in Matthew 7. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 11 and 12. Look what it says. How is it that you do not understand that I spake unto you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of what? The doctrine. What were the Pharisees and Sadducees? The religious people. This is what I can tell you. There are religious people that will come in here, and by religious, now, I say they don't know their Bible, but they have an appearance of knowing the Bible, and they'll speak against what you've been taught biblically. Beware of false doctrine. Beware of it. Where else do we see it? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Colossians chapter 2. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Another great passage, read 1 and 2 Thessalonians. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Paul writes the church of Thessalonica, and through it he will say, you will hear this phrase, the traditions that we taught you. That's a phrase that Paul uses a couple of times through his epistles, and specifically in the book of Thessalonica, he'll say that. And what he's saying is, the things that we taught you, be careful of somebody coming in and going against it. And this is what I can tell you, 16 to 24, somebody will come and say, hey, I read this. Go to somebody in authority before you listen to it. Say, what do you think of this? What do you think of this author? Why? I'm sorry, 16 to 24, but you're the Proverbs person, the young man, and some of you are simple. Not trying to slight you, but you don't have a lot of prudence. You don't have a lot of understanding. Why? Because you're 16, you're 18, you're 20. You don't have a lot of life experience, and that's what Solomon, who had a lot of life experience, was writing to his son. And remember, recently we were talking about that. I think it was Brother Olson was using that as instruction, and so his son, they believe, was older, and he proved it, kind of. That it wasn't a six-year-old he was talking to. More than likely, he was talking to somebody that was 20 or 25, maybe even 30 years old, because of the content that is in the book of Proverbs. So don't take it as a knock that you don't know everything. It's okay. But then get with somebody who knows a little more than you. And it's not going to be somebody that's 20 and has been 1 year at a technical college. All right, because they know it. All right, I want 1 year, man. I did a semester. I did a semester and I read my Bible once. I mean, I know this. All right, I got all my, hey, you know what? I researched this on the internet. Oh, really? And everything on Google doesn't have a tint to it, does it? I mean, it's amazing. And some of you that are 16 to 24 years old, I've talked to you. You admit that you haven't, you don't pick up your Bible and study anything, but you'll come at me arguing the Bible. Get off it. You haven't picked up your Bible and studied a topic in the last month. Yeah, I'm an expert. Now get in the Bible and study it some and get to know your doctrine. Because you know what will happen? You'll become steadfast. You'll become steadfast. And that's why, notice the verse after verse 17, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he tells them, hey, watch out, but grow. In what? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. So what do we be careful of? Forgetting God, associations, lustful temptations, wrong doctrine. Number five on what to be careful of, materialism. Who said that? Christ did. Luke 12:15. Luke 12:15. And he said unto them, take heed. So what is that? Listen. Be careful. Take heed. Listen. And beware of covetousness. Well, some of you, again, that same age, guess what has grabbed your heart? You'll work hard for money. You'll skip church for money. That's what you'll do. You know what you're doing? Not being careful. Not living circumspectly. You need to be careful. That's why the Bible is here and we base our actions off of it. Materialism can grab you and choke you. Is there something in the Bible that says it'll choke you? Yes, Jesus gave us a parable. Remember the parable of the sowers? And what happened when he said that the seed that fell among the thorns are like the cares of this world that choke the word? I'm telling you, the Bible has answers. Yeah. You can trust it. And some of you, you can't breathe. Why can't you breathe? Because the cares of this world have choked you. Materialism. But I was studying this, and I was like, well, it's got to be a positive thing as far as what to be careful of, because I got to be careful of forgetting God and associations and lustful temptations and wrong doctrine and materialism. Look at Titus 3:8. Titus 3:8 tells us something to be careful of. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be, look at, careful to maintain good works. I need to be careful or circumspect or diligent or vigilant to do what? To do good. That's what I need to be careful to be doing. Some of you are careful about everything else but doing right. Come on. Let's do what's right. Be careful about it. Some of you fight everything. You fight everything. I mean, I wrote it down this morning. I was talking with my youngest son about it, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to work on this because it's with our cousins. And I was like, man, you know, even they could see it, because the one cousin picked up some shoes and he's like, hey, I got some Vans. I was like, what's Vans? All right, I don't know what a van is. I mean, a van is something that sits out in the parking lot. It's like, Vans, man, these are like the Vans. I was like, well, what are those for? He says, well, they're like play around shoes. I said, exactly. You know it. And you're how old? So guess what? I don't want Vans in the choir. I don't want Vans in the pulpit. Why? Because this is sacred. It's church. And we play around in it. You know what? I don't care about your shoe wear out in the world. You know what? Go play around and you're in the playground. But at church, there should be something special about it. And I'm not going back to the way the world is. I'm sick of the world. I'm sick of the looseness. I'm sick of them making fun of my Savior. Amen. Oh, come on, man. It's just so hard. Can I just be cool? Be cool out in the playground. Be cool somewhere else. But I like God's Spirit here. And His Spirit comes and visits a place that is holy. Have you read Revelation? And the presence of God and the cherubim are there. And what do they sing? Holy, holy, holy. That's what they sing. And we want a church that is that way. I don't care about the number. I really don't. I think as the days get worse and worse, the number will go down. And I don't care. Is what I want is holiness. Because God says, I think sometimes we get all bent out of shape about, oh, well, what about the number? Have you read Gideon? You read his story? Have you read others in Scripture? You know, let God worry about filling up the pews and filling up. We'll do what's right, and we'll witness, and we'll try to get people saved. But guess what Rick Warren has done? Guess what Joel Osteen has done? Numbers is their God. And they've taken God down to where now? Remember I talked to you about that a couple years ago? There's a whole Instagram thing called the preacher's shoes or whatever. And guess what? The one dude, I told you. All right, the pastor's pastor, the guy all of us wanted to be when we grew up, Carl Lentz, look him up, shamed. He was the coolest pastor in America, having multiple affairs, and they ousted him. And you know what he wore in the pulpit? Oh, yeah. Vans were probably cheap for him. He probably had to have them custom made, man. He was Justin Bieber's pastor. I think Justin Bieber is more saved than he is. But guess what he was doing? He had one of the biggest churches in New York City. I read multiple articles over the last month on him. They said that he'd be looking out during the preaching. That's what it seems to indicate. And he'd get somebody to get one of the women to meet him in the back. Oh, that's the type of dude I want to be. Come on. Lower the standard. No way. Keep the pulpit pure. Keep a church pure. Why? Because we need to be careful to do right. That's what we need to be careful of. So that's what to be careful. And then our last point was how. So how do we do this? Man, it seems overwhelming. All right, and this morning we said, how am I careful? Attentively. That means listen. Listen, open up your ears. And remember the one passage in Deuteronomy 29 where God says, I will close your ears? That's what we don't want here, ever. We don't want to be a church that God can't speak to us. And that happens when individuals are shutting their ears. Let God speak to us. And then, how carefully? Ephesians 5, that's our text. And we use the example of John Wesley. But thirdly, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Thirdly, Proverbs 4. Most of us know this text. Notice what it says in verse 14. And there's another passage. I didn't have my concordance this morning because this verse popped into my mind. Remember the passage that says, ponder the path of thy feet? That's kind of the idea that's given here in Proverbs 4, 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. So that idea of enter, who is that talking to? Is it saying somebody else? It's talking about the person reading this. This is the son. He's saying, you don't enter. Doesn't that sound like an action? Sounds like he's knowingly doing something. And so if I'm going to be careful, it's attentively, it's carefully, it's deliberately. You will not be careful just by chance. It's a choice that every one of us have to make. And as I said at the beginning with the example of Roosevelt, I'm not telling you this is going to be easy. The strenuous Christian life is tough. And that's why the finish line doesn't have a lot of people there. It's tough. It's not easy. So it has to be deliberately. Look at what it says in verse 15. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. All right? So look what else he tells. This idea of path keeps coming out. Look at verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. You don't wonder why some of you that have been careless, it's very foggy for you. I've talked to some of you and it's foggy right now. I know it. You know why? You've entered into a wrong path. You see what it's saying? It's saying the way of the wicked is dark. It's not foggy for a Christian. It's not foggy. I'm sorry. It's not. Why? Because the path of the just is as a shining light. Is there somewhere else that kind of tells us that? Yeah. It talks about the Word of God. Remember Psalm 119? Right? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. Some of you are in fogginess. Why? You're not careful. You've been careless. And the dark, all right, evil, wicked people, wicked paths, it's darkness. So what does he tell him to do? My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart. They're life unto them that find them. Verse 23, keep thy heart. Does that sound like it's just happening by chance? No. You will be careful by choice. And I'm asking you, especially our young folks here, the devil has his target on some of you, and he's had it on you for years. And some of you have caved, and you're not careful. And you think, well, what's the big deal? I mean, what's the big deal about it? I mean, it's just a couple, some of the girls, just a couple inches above the knee. But it's what we've covenanted about. And we've taught it. Some of you say, I've never heard that. Come and sit down with some of our older ladies. They'll thump your melon with the Bible. And you know it. But guess what? You're not hearing. You're not hearing. Oh, what's the big deal about touching? What's the big deal? You know what the big deal is? And I'm not trying to embarrass, but there's people sitting here that praise the Lord. Guess what? God is a forgiving God, and we've helped restore some of you. But you were in sin in that area. And you regret it. It plagues you. And you young people are like, yeah, well, that's the big deal. And I don't want to go and parade them up here and say, talk to this one and talk to this one. I'm not going to do that. But trust us. Trust us that there's people that have regrets. So that's why we say, don't touch. Don't do it. Don't do that. We're deliberate in our actions. We're careful. The other thing, we should be careful, not just attentively and carefully and deliberately, but diligently. Listen to this. That word circumspect is the same word translated a couple other times in the Bible. Guess what? Diligently. And we just came through a season where that word circumspect was translated diligently. It's found in Matthew chapter 2. All right, let me turn there and I'll read it for you. Matthew chapter 2. It's kind of interesting because in Matthew chapter 2, remember the story of King Herod? So what happened with King Herod? The wise men, remember the wise men came? And they said, hey, there's a king. And Herod, look at verse 8, this is the same word circumspectly. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search. Where's the word? Diligently. That's the same word, circumspect. What was Herod telling him? Hey, just go out there. This is the king. You think he was just like casually, like leaning back on one of his leaning things, and there was the fans, and they're dropping grapes. It's like, hey, wise dudes, you know what? When you go, I think he was pretty intense. How do we know that? Well, because when they didn't come back, he killed all 2 years old and under. Does that seem a little intense? A little bit. So was he telling them lightly to search? Diligently. If you're going to be careful, you're going to be diligent in this area. And that's why all this year, right, each month, what are we trying to do? We're taking an area of our integrity. We're saying, God, search me. I'm not asking you to get your neighbor that sits next to you like, yeah, you know what? Hey, we're looking at integrity this month, so why don't you be honest? I'm not asking you to look at everybody else in your rows. I'm asking you to search you. My integrity. What's my integrity? What's your reputation? You build it. You do. Oh, yeah, I understand people can lie. They can. But for the majority of us sitting here, you've built your reputation. So are you a rebel? Are you dishonest? Are you a lover of the world? You know what I love about some of our young people? I can list. They pop into my head, and I pray for our young people all the time. But there's some of them, they're always talking to me about a tract that they handed out. hey, got this for my Bible reading. But let me ask you as a young person, why can't that be you? Amen. Why can't that be you? Amen. Is God a respecter of person when it comes to the Holy Spirit and revealing his word? No, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It's all there for you. But you got to spend time with him. You got to be diligent. And then the last thing is prudently. I do have another point, but I'll skip it so I can shut down. It's vigilantly. That's the last one. All right. But prudently is found in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. We'll combine prudently and vigilantly. All right. Proverbs 22. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. So there's a couple of commentators that have taken this and they've studied it. And I had fun kind of looking and thinking about it, meditating upon it. So there's another idea of this idea of foreseeing. You know where it's found? All right, it's found Proverbs 29. So turn there. People use this, and I don't really have a problem with it. I've used it before and said, where there's no vision, the people perish. And they're talking about setting goals. But in the context of the Bible, what does that mean? Where there's no vision. What was this talking about? That was talking about the prophets. What were the prophets? They were God's messenger, right? So without God's word, you have no vision. People perish. So going back then, and this is the big debate in the commentators, and the first passage in Proverbs 22, a prudent man foreseeth. What? How can I foresee? How? Right there. The word of God helps you see ahead. It can show you. It can show you that, whoa, oh man, I can start in the book of Genesis and I can see, wow, Cain chose this course, Abel chose this, and what was the consequences? I can foresee. See that? King David. King David was what? Careless, wasn't he? And when it was the time of the kings to go to war, he stayed back and he went out. Ah, I need to take it easy. And guess what happened to him? In a careless moment, he committed adultery. See, I'm not saying that we're all going to be perfect. King David got it right. I praise the Lord for the transparency of Scripture that shows us that. But you also see a King Saul who didn't get it right. And he ended up, think about the hearing. It's the difference. Remember what we were saying in Deuteronomy 29 as far as God can shut the ears down? Think of King David and King Saul. King David repented. When Nathan came and said, you're the man, he said, I've sinned. And God said, all right. And now we have psalm after psalm. We read them. They bring comfort to us all the time. But who's been reading the Psalms of King Saul? Nope. Haven't been reading them. Why? Because he refused to repent. God shut the ears, and where did he have to go? To a witch? Yeah. You say, oh, that will not happen to me. Yes. There's been people that have sat right here. There's been people that I grew up at Cleveland Baptist. All over the world, there's stories of people that sat in church and were on fire for God, but they became careless. And then when it was pointed out, they didn't repent. They became a King Saul. And pretty soon, they're way down the road. And they're getting advice from one of Satan's people? Yeah, that's what you'll end up doing. If you're not prudent. And prudence comes from the Word of God. That's where prudence comes. And I'm vigilant about this. Why am I vigilant? Why? We used this verse this morning. There's a devil. 1 Peter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion. You know, I can remember it, and it's hard to think that it was just about a year and a month ago almost, my wife and I think it was the 2 days before Thanksgiving, we were able to go and visit Pearl Harbor. I remember going out, and it's a phenomenal sight. But if you've read about Pearl Harbor, that December 7th, 1941, the attack was invited by a failure of Americans to be what? Vigilant. They were careless. They're like, no! And they even say that they were warned. Warnings came, and they're like, no, there's no way possible. And while we were there, they were talking about it. One of the last survivors, there were survivors of the Arizona, because it's World War II, they're all passing away, but there was only three that were alive when we were there. And the last one, what they did is the people that were on the Arizona that were rescued, they have an opportunity when they die to be buried there. And there was one last one. And so like a week later from when we were there, his remains were going to be flown out and he was going to be buried on the Arizona. But they say there's hundreds of bodies down there. And all of those, they didn't have to die. You know why? If they would have just been careful. You know what's sad? It's sad in the ministry. It's sad sitting in churches sometimes. It's sad talking to a pastor sometime, and I'll say, oh, hey, I remember so-and-so. They're like, oh, yeah, it's sad. They weren't vigilant. The Bible instructs us to be careful. To be careful. To be vigilant. See then that ye walk how? Circumspectly. Take care. Maybe growing up, there was a pastor that was thinking about that, and he said every time that he would leave the house, his mom would say, take care. He's like, oh, mom. And he said he was 50 years old, and she would call, and then she would they'd be done with the phone call, and she'd be like, hey, son, take care. He said, but he has kids now, and he says, it's kind of passed on because I tell them to take care. You know why? Because we can be careless. I should tell them about my son, Clint. Oh, we went down to Brother Ross. Oh, what was that? I can't remember. We were going to try to hunt again. And so he's got his permit. And on the way back, I said, all right, you can drive there. On the way back, you know what? Mom can't handle it. All right. And now I know why. All right. But on the way back, we're like, hey, you know what? Let's grab something to eat. So obviously, there's McDonald's. All right. One of the greatest meals ever. Let's go in and get some fries or something. So we go in. He's driving. And I'm not paying attention. And we pull out. And, of course, the driver... It's not my job. The driver should be aware. Well, it was a one-way going this way. All right, one-way going this way. So he gets his food. He opens his up. He just pulls out. This lady slammed. I'm saying, I saw everything. We were in Terre Haute, which, if you know Terre Haute, right, with Pastor Malinick, I mean, there was false teeth. There was like a house coat. I mean, I was right there in her grill. I mean, she's just staring at me, and I'm like, ah! All right, we couldn't breathe for a little while. I'm like, Clint, what's up? He's like, oh, all right, if you know Clint, he's like, it really wasn't even that much. He's like, oh. You about killed us. All right, then a little later, We were listening to a book, and I think I dozed off, and all of a sudden I hear, and I'm like, ah! All right, and of course, Gwen's like, all right. I'm like, what's up? He's like, oh, man, and you get sleepy. I'm like, no, we don't get sleepy driving. All right. We take care. Take care, especially of your dad. You know, there's road signs on the highways. There's road signs as we're going out, and sometimes it'll say, hey, this is happening. There's construction. Hey, it's veering. I mean, they have all these signs, and if you're not careful, you don't pay attention to them. The Bible has given us some road signs. And over, this morning and tonight, guess what you've heard? Be careful. Beware. Take heed. Listen. Be attentive. You know what the Bible's telling you? There's an adversary. There's wolves. Hey, there's things that are going to come in. And I'm going to be the first to tell you the Christian life, it ain't a, you know, it's not always peachy. It's not. Okay? You're going to face some hard times. All right? Tom, last week, Thursday, 1 hour before church, he just got handed a big burden. Right, Tom? It's not always easy. That's why we need to live carefully. All right, and that's health. But some of the things, you ask for it yourself. You saw in Proverbs, enter not. That means be aware of the paths. Open up your ears. Listen. Be vigilant. God's word has tons of warnings to travelers. And you really can't say you haven't been warned. The Bible tells us to be careful, to be circumspect. So let's do that this year. Heads bowed, eyes closed.